Hello and welcome to Microsoft Virtual Academy Windows Server 2012 R2 Server Management and Automation. So I'm very excited to talk about the new capabilities around server management and automation running at the back. So this is what's new on Windows Server 2012 R2. And before I kick off and talk about the new management capabilities, we need to understand what there are today in order for us to kind of manage what's out there in your data center. So there has been a major drift from five, six years before and today, there has been a major drift on the data center being heavily virtualized. Like 70% of the servers out there that's shipping out today are being used to be on a virtualized platform. And on top of that, today we're in a very heterogeneous environment, not just what's in there today in your data center, but we're really utilizing the public cloud as well. So it's a cloud era that the data center is really transforming, and it's on a hybrid cloud environment where there are some traditional data center environment, but there also are some virtualized environment, but also a hybrid cloud scenarios also being used on a certain application. So a lot of these resources are being used in different ways, not just on a physical host machine and like on the networking devices and storages that traditionally we used to do, but a lot of capabilities are being utilized in a software basis for them, for the hardware resources to be utilized on a software-defined infrastructure. So we call software-defined networking, we call it a software-defined data center for some categories. So in a lot of ways, software has become the major part of utilizing your resources within your data center. It's become so important to have them managed in a way that is very efficient and flexible for you to really manage your data center for your applications. And your application has been involved as well. Your application is being designed to be run on the cloud that actually can take the scalability and knows the flexibility. And it could be on a basis where the database is going to be running on your on-premises, whereas your web server or some other service that is highly scalable could be run on the cloud, in the public cloud. So there's like very different trends very different usage scenarios where an IT admin might just have pulling their hairs off just to manage a single application. So it's been a very interesting time within the data center world that how it's transforming. And the way we approach is it has become phenomenally different from the way we have approached before. And just to touch base on the customer pain points these days, if you look at some of the biggest customer needs and opportunities, like the requirements from the application and the business perspective has been increasing dramatically. The IT budgets, on the other hand, is staying flat. It's not increasing. It's just that the business requirements, the people who are actually running the business kind of knows what cloud is, and they are pushing back to the IT department to say, hey, let's leverage these kind of capabilities we have today. And they're really struggling to have that on top of the application they're running today. So their IT budgets remains the same, but on the other hand, the requirements are increasing. So that's another headache that people in the IT admin are really facing. And on top of that, there are new solutions that goes across that needs to be moving across their data center environments. So their application have to be migrated, but on the other hand, the database should remain the same. So they need the connectivity between two totally different data center environments. So those would be some pain points that IT admins should be facing. And the application owner is pressing the IT department, the IT pros for agility, availability, going directly to the public clouds. So for instance, they know that their application needs a high availability, and they think that just cloud, if they put that on the public cloud, it will solve the whole problem for that. And that's another challenges that the IT pros will be seeing in order for them to move their application to the public cloud. And of course, the services they want to provide to their individual departments. So for example, there would be an IT department where they're serving an HR department as well as the sales and the marketing, where they want to use their infrastructure, their resources at their own will. But IT pros cannot just give out all the resources that they have. So if that happens, they want to restrict their resources just for that individual departments, for them to not having conflicted with other departments within that resources. So that includes the storages, networking, not just on compute level. So that gives the IT pros another homework for them to go ahead and study and kind of try to isolate that in an efficient manner, which is not an easy thing to do. And they want to enable the build and the operate the infrastructure efficiently across the customer bases. So they need to kind of really know how to utilize their customer scenario based upon their application and use that at their own infrastructure with an efficient manner. And of course, they want to protect their existing investments through easy system integration, which means is that they don't want to rip out all their data center investments that they have put up to. So they have to utilize what they have already today. And this is a big part of transforming their data center. Now, how does Windows Server 2012 R2 really come into play is that we have a humongous investments on standard-based management, which I will be covering for the first part. Now, this is a very big part that we have initially announced on Windows Server 2012. As I drill down into the standard-based management, with R2 coming out, there has been a great flexibility around how we communicate with those devices and the operating systems that are non-Windows system. And that's the whole reason why we have a standard-based management, right? So that it just not only talks with Windows, but also stretches it to other Windows Server, but also on the devices level, such as network and hardware, physical hardwares. So that is a standard-based management, and why this is a really important part when it comes to management and automation. Now, with all this standard-based management, you need to do an automation task, because we're not just talking about one or two servers that you want to manage, and not just a single networking switch you want to manage. It's about like hundreds and thousands of host machines and hundreds and multi-thousand of virtual machines you want to manage, not just on the host level, but also on a network and a hardware level in a very efficient manner. In order for you to do that, you need to automate that. And we have this powerful automation commandlet, command tool, which is the PowerShell, which we shipped from Windows Server 2008. And we have dramatically increased its capabilities with Windows Server 2012 with PowerShell 3.0. And today we announced PowerShell 4.0, with Windows Server 2012 R2. And that has a humongous improvement there, where we can really automate probably all of those things that you can do with Windows Server, and also a lot of things with the standard-based management with non-Windows system environments. And we have multi-server management capabilities, which we have implemented Server Manager alongside with the WSUS and IPAM, which is the IP address management tool set within Server Manager. So with a single Server Manager, which we introduced on Server 2012, we have increased its capability just to manage with that single pane of glass two multiple servers in order that you may want to manage them. And deployment option is really important when it comes to a huge data center environment, where you want to provision and deploy just the right server application, server roles to your physical machine or your virtual machine. And we have multiple ways to do that in the right way that the customer requirements are needed. So I'm going to introduce to you that as well. And lastly, the ecosystem is absolutely important, especially because we are investing so much on standard-based management. We are going to see a lot of partners really adapting that standard base, which they are pretty much doing today, but we are really going to build, and we are building the healthy ecosystem around the partners adapting these standard-based management so that all they need to do is just work on the standard base, so we can actually automate that with the powerful set of automation tools that we have today. Right, so first of all, let me introduce you to what really is on the standard-based management. It simplifies the management of your data center, which is really diverse and heterogeneous. We do heavily implement the standard-based model, and we use the standard protocol to talk to these objects that we want to manage. And on the object point of a view, we use the standard APIs to really go drill down into those managed devices. And all of these sets are frameworked into a Windows management framework. This includes the remote management toolkit, as well as the PowerShell, but also some of those components that's needed to be managed through Windows and other components as well. Now, why is this so important? Standard-based management. Wasn't there like tools that we were good on managing Windows, like WMI, Windows Management Infrastructure, and there were a lot of like System Center agent-based toolkits that can talk to the Windows Server and Windows Client devices. Why is standard-based management so important? If you look at the reality today, there are so many different objects and components, if you call it that, that the people want to access, and their requirements and their needs for that accessing points are so much different. Like for IT pros, they want to manage their storages to kind of allocate some of those services that they are trying to provision, right? And whereas the tool developers want to develop their application and just access some of the storages in order for them to gain access from. It can be disk, can be storages. There are so many different objects for so many different needs, and they're accessing with so many different devices. So at the end of the day, they have so many different tools that they are accessing, and it's going to be really complicated for a single point of view. It's going to mess up your data center really quickly if you don't have it as in a process that they want to manage these kind of devices. So what we have done from Windows Server 2012 is that we had this Windows Management Framework, where it's a single framework that the people can dedicate their management functionalities and capabilities adapted to Windows Management Framework, and that's all they need to do, because that's going to be a single framework that the IT pros or the tool developers or the service providers can actually look into and just talk to Windows Management Framework. It doesn't matter which different storages that they're using, which disk, which host machines, which operating system. It doesn't really matter. They just need to talk to the Windows Management Framework, right? Now, it's a very vague message. So if I drill down into it a little bit more, we can set that into a three different layers of Windows Management Framework. The first part is the Common Information Model, right? So this is very important because we have been working a lot with the DMTF, which is the Distributed Management Task Force. These folks are the organization which manages the management protocols and have it as a standardized model, which the outcome is the Common Information Model, which has been out there for some while. Now, this is we call it a SIM schema. And if you stretch a little bit, or if you dedicate the SIM model a little bit to a specific type of object, which is the SMIS, for example, is the Storage Management Initiative Specification, is a set for managing storage itself. So this is a standard model which we already have today. And we have adopted this SIM schema as well as the storage, the SMIS. So it's going to be just out there today for those devices and the operating system who knows how to talk to SIM model, which most of the operating system does, including Windows Server and Linux and Unix servers, excuse me. That is going to be already known with this Windows Management Framework. And how do we talk to that channel? How do we really access to that model? There are multiple ways that we do that, but we have heavily adopted a standard protocol, which is one of the examples is the WSMAN. This is a standard protocol where you use the web services management. So it's going to be run through the web. It's a standard protocol. So there's merely no blockers to that because it's a standard protocol that we use heavily today. And we also use the HTTP and the PowerShell remote procedures. Excuse me. Excuse me. So standard protocol, we use that in order for us to really communicate to that standard-based model. Now, what is the standard API? This is the endpoint where we actually talk to that object. It could be OData, it could be an MI client, and of course it would be, one of the examples could be Windows PowerShell. So we heavily adopted these standardized APIs, protocols, and models, and we put them together in Windows Management Framework. Now, one of the examples for this, if we look at that in a Linux point of view, how do we really talk to, this is like a brief example of how we talk to other than non-Windows environment, right? Which is really critical when it comes to a data center management. They're not just on Windows. Obviously, they could be other than Windows, which the high percentage of other Windows, non-Windows system are Linux, right? So if we talk about Linux, how do we really manage Linux? There was this communication channel where we could manage these Linux boxes called an Open Pegasus. If we install that, we had this talking point to that Linux box, and we actually were able to communicate with that. Now, very similarly, we have contributed in the open source world of this thing called Open Management Infrastructure. Now, this is what we used to have in Windows, very similar thing what we had in Windows, which were Windows Management Instrumentation. Now this WMI allowed us to manage Windows, not just on a component level, but also like deploying softwares, of getting inventory, and all sorts of things that we could do in Windows Server and Windows Client. We are able to do that with Linux on top of this Windows Open Management Infrastructure, which we call OMI. And the way we talk to this OMI is exactly the same as how we talk to WMI, which is WSMAN. So with WSMAN Protocol Handler, we're able to talk to them, and there's really small differences between these two WMI and OMI. So if the vendors who are running applications or running Linux on top of besides non-Windows, and if they just implement this basic functionalities to manage their application through OMI channel, it's going to be managed automatically through our WSMAN and Windows Management Framework to these boxes, right? So it's a very efficient tool, and if you kind of briefly talk about what Open Management Infrastructure is, it's a open source Windows Management Infrastructure Server, which is being implemented by Microsoft. So we actually contributed the whole source code to the open source world, and they're going to adapt that obviously in later days, and today partly. They're using this OMI for them to talk with other equivalent management solutions, such as a Windows Management Framework. For example, System Center Operations Manager and Configuration Manager is also using OMI to talk and deploy application and retrieve inventory from the Linux boxes with this OMI piece of it. So that is one of the reasons how we kind of stretch our System Center management capabilities around this as well. So we include the Windows Server Management Protocol Stack. So all the Windows PowerShell all the Windows PowerShell capabilities of management is going to be enabled through this OMI piece. So most of the functionalities that we can get from WMI almost with the equivalent level, we are trying to stretch that with the engine that is based on OMI piece of it. So what is the difference between OpenPegasus? If you already know OpenPegasus, this is something somewhat similar of the functionalities we are building with OMI. But OpenPegasus is a lot more bigger and slower. So in other words, OMI is much more faster and lighter and is much more reliable. If you just look at the differentiation factors, the request per second is like 70 plus times a lot more faster than OpenPegasus. And its resilience set size is a lot more smaller, like 17 times smaller than OpenPegasus. So it's really light for the OEM vendors who are using Linux as their running operating system within their OEMs like devices. It's a lot more easier for them to implement and use the OMI piece of it as well. So this is a very good example of how we kind of compare with the original management stack, and we kind of implement that to utilize with the Windows Management Framework. Now, what is the approach then with Windows Server 2012 R2? As you have seen, if you just implement that, it's very easy for people to implement within their Linux for Windows to manage not just Windows, but also the non-Windows system like Linux and Unix Server as well. But we don't really stop there, right? Now, OMI is such a powerful set of tool, and supporting the standard-based management and really utilizing the standard-based management actually stretches a whole different world in management capabilities. And some of the examples are managing your storages and managing your hardware. It's like from deployment to hardware level of tasks, right? So this is what we are capable of doing with the release of Server 2012 R2. So it eventually is going to lower the cost because you're going to have a single set of management tool set, which the devices and the hardware and the operating system is going to be automatically be provided because it's standard based. And it's going to stretch a whole different way of managing these different objects. And not only that, because we support and really heavily utilize the standard based, we're going to use our existing engine that was really powerful from Server 2012, which we are heavily utilizing our PowerShell automation capabilities. So if we have PowerShell on top of standard based management, it's going to be stretched to managing through different devices with the automation capabilities that we have today with PowerShell, right? So that's some of the examples that we can actually use and utilize within your data center today. And one of the good examples is the switch management. So this becomes really critical when people are trying to build their own private cloud. Because it's not just on the host level and the virtualization on the host level. It's all about, it stretches to network and to storages where you want to really slice that into some of those resources, and you want to put that as much as an efficient manner on the resources that needs to be allocated for certain tenant users. So it becomes very important that a software needs to have a way to manage their switch devices, not just the virtual switch, but the hardware switches that needs to be managed within one of those resources in the cloud. So PowerShell is going to be the baseline of how you manage that. And of course, our virtual machine manager with System Center R2, we are heavily utilizing these these management open standard management capabilities within Virtual Machine Manager, and this is how they actually manage those different hardware switches. And there are multiple ways to do that, and the communication channel in between those network switches and those management tool like PowerShell or VMM is going to be on WSMAN based. And it's, of course, all these are going to be on top of the common information model. So it's going to be most of the network switches and the devices are adapting the common information model. So most of them do have the capabilities to actually have the capabilities to manage out of the box. So if you look at the switch management schema that we provide on a high level view, is we have the global settings that we can change. We have the interfaces and the network policy and so forth. But some of those things that we can heavily utilize is the access control list, the ACLs, and we need to like put out the list and we need to change the list and so forth to multiple network switches. If that is something that you want to utilize for a certain tenant. And we also have a broader, a border gateway protocol, which is the routing protocol of the internet. We can actually change that as alongside with this PowerShell Common Information Adapted script as well. So for example, for those who do not know PowerShell, but who knows how to script, it's a very easy way to kind of manage through a script base. It's a very powerful tool. Some of those who actually knows PowerShell, you would see that how easy it is to manage your network switches. So for example, here on the first line, you see IP addresses, which is the IP addresses of the switches. And you open up on the second line, on the third line actually, you open up a common information modeled session through this network switch through port 7779 with the basic authentication and the credential that you have previously incorporated with. And then once that SIM session is open, there's multiple multiple options that you can do, which you have seen on the previous slide, which is the general setting and the SSH open feature that you are seeing here. And you can open some of the ports that you want, and you can actually define a set of ports as a group. Like if you want to open on a certain network area, you want to open port from certain areas for that department or a certain role, you can actually set that as a parameter, and then you can just have it invoked with this SIM instance, and then you're ready to go, and all that switch is going to be opened through that port. And also you can actually change the port to a trunk mode and specify a list of VLANs, as you see on the last part of the PowerShell script. So this is really simple. If you automate, if you just think about how PowerShell is really powerful on making this automated, and you can have this on a job, on a workflow, on a scheduled job, it's really powerful that these capabilities can run on top of those automated engine and actually have this capabilities manage your hardware devices such as network switches. And the last bit is very important, those things that we talk about in hardware management space. When we manage hardware, most commonly people would think about a baseboard management controller, because this is a very specialized service processor that monitors the physical state of a computer. The BMC is part of IPMI, which is the Intelligent Platform Management Interface, and is usually contained in the main board or the main circuit board of the device that is to be monitored. Now, we as well have to utilize this BMC, but even though I've talked about a lot of standardized management and so forth, we found that most server hardwares in data center was actually capable, do have the functionality, do have the capability of remote management through these industry standards like IPMI, RCMP Plus, Common Information Model, and WSMAN. However, to our surprise, like the data center admins were relying on a set of fixed functions provided by the vendor and their given out tools, instead of building a custom automation on the standards that work across these vendors. Why is that? It's because it's simply too complicated, and the complexity is really big. They have to study the IPMI protocols. They have to know what a common information model is. Once you know all the common information model and how it works, it's going to be really simple for you to manage, because it's really complicated, controversially. But the way that you can actually enable to do that, it's not an easy job. It's not an easy task for you to do. So we have thought about what is the most common task-oriented abstraction that we want to take away and use the standard-based model so that the user wouldn't actually need to go head down and study all that, but we are leveraging and we are taking advantage of that standard model protocol and APIs and really give it out to the customer saying, hey, you just need to know this. And these, all those vendors are going to be using the standard-based management capabilities are going to be built on their system. You guys just don't need to do anything. And you don't need to look at tens of 20s of 30s of different management tool set that the vendors are providing. So this is how we kind of use this standard capabilities. And the way we do that to actually manage these hardwares is the PCSV base. Now, PCSV stands for Physical Computer System View. It is a new DMTF profile, which is in the final approval process, right? And we have snitched out some of the commonly tasks that data center admins are really heavily utilizing. First of all, is the collection of the hardware inventory. And secondly, they're getting available boot sources, and they want to set the boot order once in a certain manner, and they want to get the power state, and they also want to turn the machine on and off. So it's a very basic task, right? But they want to have the task across their data center and across their hardwares. And PCSV really gives you a simple view to the client, saving round trips and complex client-side coding. So we kind of love the simplification that the PCSV provides and decided to base our new command list on it. So this is how we kind of leverage that. But if the vendor does not provide PCSV, that is totally fine. We also convert that into IPMI or the SMASH protocol. So whatever the vendor provides within their hardware of management protocols, we provide most of we provide all these SMASH, IPMI, RMCP plus, and so forth in that manner. So how does it really work? This is a real simple sample script, right? And we have this commandlet called get PCSV device, and we input the IP address, and we input the protocol, and bam. We get the manufacturer model, firmware version, so forth, the power state, and we have the ability to restart and so forth. It doesn't matter which protocol that they use. If you see on the last bit here, we have these three different devices as an array through this host, and if we restart, force it, it's going to restart automatically no matter which operating system they use and no matter which vendors that the hardware has been manufactured from. And this is the outcome of the information that you will be able to retrieve. If you input the correct credential for it, just get the IP, get the PCSV device, and here's the outcome, the serial number, and model, manufacturer, and those bits, informations are going to be on your display screen for you to really get information from and utilize this information to automate specific tasks. And one of the examples here would be automating the machine to boot from a network and restart the machine in a specific order, right? So the first step will be set the machine to boot from network, but just for the next boot, and the second step would be rebooting the machine. And this is exactly what it's doing on the last two lines of the PowerShell script. So it's very simple, but the underlying technology is based on a standard-based model and a protocol and the APIs. So we have seen two different examples of how we utilize this OMI as well as the standard-based protocol management, which was the switch management and utilizing the BMC to talk to the hardware and really utilizing the simple task that IT admins would love to do. So these are the basic, very underlying key components of how we address a standard-based model. And one of the most important thing why this becomes more and more important moving on is that we are in a stage where a lot of these usage of these resources are becoming more and more into cloud-based, cloud characteristics, I would call it that. So you would need to have a flexibility around it. You need to have an efficiency. You need to really allocate your users to use a certain resources in the right amount of manner. And software should be, is going to be the centerpiece of it. And the way we describe that is the data center abstraction layer. So we have something like the hardware abstraction layer we did with virtualization. We pulled it down a lot further, down to a level as in what the data center should have to manage, not just on a physical host machine, but as a data center as a whole. So we call that a data center abstraction layer. And when it comes to that, the standard-based model is becoming is going to become super critical for us to manage, for the data center admins to manage different types of objects with different types of vendors with different types of purposes. And stitching that together, it's going to be, you're going to be able to build a much more efficient cloud. And System Center ourselves is really utilizing the standard-based management as well. So that's for the first part of this module. So this is the first part of the module, and I like to wrap it up at that. And we are going to keep talking about server management and automation capabilities that is new to Server 2012 R2 through the following session on deployment, simplifying your routine task, and the ecosystem following with that. So thank you for listening, and I wish I could see you in Module 2. Thank you very much.